Okay, we are going to begin, and are we on? Okay, good. All right, let's begin it with a prayer together. Our Father, we pray for wisdom to read your word with greater understanding. We pray that you will teach us how to understand and appreciate, and then be challenged to apply the truth that we read from your word. And grant us your grace and your mercies, we pray. Help us be very conscious of how much we need you to open our eyes. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we are going to take a look at Deuteronomy 24 once again. And we're going to take a look at what it means. Now, this is always a challenging thing to do, okay? Money is a really big problem. Anytime, any country, every situation, money is always a huge problem, unfortunately. Okay? So this is something that you need to... this is very important. So supposing you need to lend money... Now, in the early days, you don't have banks to say, I want to go and borrow money from a bank. And then the bank will say, where's your collateral? And you say, no collateral. Sorry, it's not going to go that way. All right? The word here is the word lend. And that becomes a real problem. Okay? Why don't we just simply give? Now, that what's the difference between a giving, lending? Well, let's look at the difference for a while. Okay? Now, this is important for us. Now, we have a bit of a difference in chapter 15, for example. Right? So, this is a situation in chapter 15, and we see this. Okay? So there is an old law that says it is called a release of debts. So this is called a release of debts. Okay, 15 and then verse 1. Now you're going to compare this with Deuteronomy 24. And we ask, what's the difference? This is the form of the release. Right? Every creditor who has lent anything to his neighbor shall release it. And you cannot you cannot require it from them. Okay? So I go to Stanley. Hello, Stanley. Can you lend me some money? So this is 2019. Okay? In 2026, I still haven't paid him money. Bye, Stanley, see you. What? This is called the Lord's release. So you've got to bear in mind 15 and 24 together because they are tied in. All right? So this is 24 is an explanation of 15. Okay, now, so that you have to balance up the both very, very, very carefully. So this is important. Okay, now this is the form. Right, now, if I am a foreigner, say we don't belong to the, we don't belong to the same faith. We don't belong to the faith family. I'm an outsider. So I say, Mr. Stanley, can I borrow? After 7 years, you can still ask me because I still owe you. But if I am a brother, I am a family member, you cannot. Wow. So you better ask yourself, you want to lend or don't want to lend? Now, that becomes a big issue. First, you have to ask yourself. Now, let's go on further. Okay? Of a foreigner. Okay? But you may require, but you shall give up your claim owed by a brother, your brother. In other words, you've got to see it like you are a brother. That's it. See, this is your family tie kind of a thing here. You know, so family got a lot of ties, you know, a lot of obligations which exist. Okay? So this is a situation. Now, except when there may be no poor among you, for the Lord will greatly bless you in the land. Okay? Only if you carefully obey. Right? So the Lord will bless you as he promised you. You shall lend to many nations. You shall not borrow. Now that is the promise. So you don't worry about, then if I lend everybody, then I'll be so poor. Then I got to borrow from him back. So I lend everybody, then I'm going to have to borrow from somebody. That's not how it works. Right? So I'm not asking you for any loan, Stanley, but just in case, you better know the old law first before you think, I lend you. Then after 7 years, the money is gone. Okay, then that becomes a real problem. Now, if you lend me $10 for 7 years, no, it won't. It next year wipe out already the cost of living. So, no. But if you loan somebody $50,000, that's a different story. That's a nice tidy sum of money. Can I lay claim? You better think twice about whether you want to loan or you don't want to loan. Okay. Now, but remember, this is an old law for Israel. Does it apply today? No. Right? You cannot apply this and say, okay, we're going to loan this money to you. That's not how it works. But that is something you need to bear in mind. Okay? So the Lord will bless you just as he promised you. Now, if there is any among you, a poor man of your brethren, within any of the gates in your land, which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not harden your heart nor shut your hand from your poor brother. Now, that is the other way around. Okay, since I may lose all the money in 7 years, I don't want to recognize you. In other words, I'm going to harden my heart. That is also not an option. So then you are stuck with no options, you know. First, the option number one, if you want to lend, you must be prepared to let it go after 7 years, which is going to be tough. Okay? Number two, if you don't want to lend and you harden your heart, also option is also not available to you. You cannot shut your hand from your poor brother. You shall open your hand wide, 15:8. And willingly lend him sufficient for his need, whatever he needs. Wow. That is tough. Okay? Now, if the person says, I need a Ferrari, you don't worry about it. That is not in the option scheme. Okay? So you don't worry about it. I also need a Rolls Royce for the weekend. You can forget about it. That is not going to happen. Great, but question is need. And you don't need a Rolls Royce. You don't need a Ferrari. You don't even have a driving license. So you cannot say, well, then I need a driver. So you can't work on that line because that's not hard. So the question is need. And your heart must be, you must willingly lend him sufficient for his need. Now that is a big, whatever he needs. It must be sufficient. Right? So if it's not sufficient, then what's the point? Now, beware lest there be a wicked thought in your heart saying, the year of release is at hand. And your eye be evil against your poor brother, you give him nothing. Now, see? So you can't close your heart. You can't harden your heart. You cannot, this nearby, I don't want to do it. You give nothing. So that's not the answer. So all the options are not in your favor. Right? But you ask yourself, well, do you want to be poor instead? No, I don't want to be poor. But I want to be rich. But I want to be rich without obligations. Doesn't work. Right? So if you really want to be wealthy, you want the Lord to bless you, but you don't want any obligations, it doesn't work that way at all. So there are certain things that you need to think about very, very carefully. See? Now, if you think, harden your heart, close your hand, refuse to help in any way, this is evil. And your brother happens to mention your name in prayer, you're sunk. Dear Lord, you know, tonight I'm so hungry. And Stanley has been feasting every night. And he is not thinking about me at all. Stanley, okay. Now, your name is recorded. You are having problems already. Now, that becomes an obvious situation. Right? So this is something that you need to think about very, very carefully. Okay? And he cries out to the Lord and it becomes sin among you. It's not just sin personal. It's sin among. The whole community will be affected. Now, this is something. Okay, so what did you know? You shall surely give to him. And your heart should not be grieved when you give to him. You give reluctantly. You're grieved. If you give a little, wow, my heart very painful. And that too is evil. That cannot be done in that way. Okay? Because of this thing, the Lord will bless you in all your work. Remember, the poor will never cease from the land. Okay? So you shall open your hand wide to your brother, to your poor, your needy in your land. So you're going to bear in mind 15, because 24 is a commentary on 15. So you mustn't read 24 by itself. You got to read it in the context of 15, because they are actually related. They're tied in together. Right? So this is something that you need to think about very, very carefully. How do I go about doing this? Okay? So if your brother, verse 12, let me go on further. If your brother, a Hebrew man, remember, now we describe who is the brother. Anybody who is Hebrew man, in other words, same from the tribe, from loins of Abraham. That's the idea. Okay? And this person is there. And is, okay, now, let us say that he is so poor. He is puts himself on sale. Cheap sale. Quite bad. You see, but there is some dignity in that, you know. Now, I hope you understand this idea of some dignity in that. Because the person is going to put himself, as it were, on sale. And then you were looking for people and you bought the person. Whoa. Now, remember, we're not commenting on things like that. But let us say that the person happens to be in the stocks. In a marketplace, right? Now, this person is actually maybe from somewhere else. Some raiders came in and they arrested or captured the person. The person belongs to the person who has bought him. The person wants to sell the person. Where did you discover? Actually, you're Hebrew, aren't you? Yes. Now, that becomes a real challenge. Are you going to buy or not? But you really need a farmhand. This person looks strong enough. The person looks like a good hard worker. So then you say, okay, I am going to buy the person. And you bought the person. Right? Now, the person is already been bought. You paid good money for that slave. And the person has worked for you for 6 years. You cannot retain him. Right? You must let him go on the seventh year. See, it's also called the year of the Lord's release. Same. So there are two different scenarios now. Right? So there are two different scenarios. What are the second scenario here? And when you send him away free from you, you shall not let him go away empty-handed. Right? He's been very good at husbandry. You must give him at least a bull and a cow so that they will maybe have children later on and start his own husbandry. But you cannot let him go away empty-handed. You must supply him liberally from your flock if he works with the flock. Or with the threshing floor. Maybe the person's very good at harvest, at crops. Maybe the person is very good in a wine press. 1, 2, 3. Whichever he's good at. See, he works very good at wine press. You give him a cow and a bull. What do I do with it? He doesn't know how to do with it. So that is no point. Okay, you give him a wine press thing, but he doesn't know. He's only good at corn, maize, grain, whatever. Also, no, it must be appropriate to his skill set. So if my skill set is with animal husbandry, please help me. I want to set up my own dairy farm. Or I want to set up a small little farm. I grow my own grain. Maybe I'll see you in the marketplace. Right? Or maybe I am good at my flock and sheep, goats, whatever. Remember, you found me at the stocks. And you discovered that I was a Hebrew. Right? You employed, you bought me for 6 years. And I was obliged to serve you. And I've served you very well. Like Joseph served very well. Potiphar and so forth. And everything he did prospered. God bless him. Obviously, this guy is good. But if you look at a husbandry, all the animals die. Better sell tomorrow. Because all the crops failed. All the sheep got eaten by all the wild animals, all run loose. Every time you hire the person, he's a disaster. Then it's time to return him to whoever is the owner. Right? Well, I hope you understand. But on the other hand, everything he does succeeds. Right? Everything he does really, really succeeds. Now, you know what? You owe him. 6 years of success is not nothing. 6 years of success can be very substantial. Right? So therefore, when you give him something freely, a cow, a bull, is nothing. A startup company, nothing. Because you have earned six times more. You will give him one portion, it is nothing. So you must give it freely. Remember, you were a slave. The Lord redeemed you. I hope you understand. Okay? So one is the poor. This one is worse than the poor. Scenario number two is worse than scenario number one. I hope you understand. Okay? So this is very, very, very important. In your heart of hearts, you must be sure that you're not doing it for wrong reasons. But there must be no ulterior motive in anything that you do. All right? So there's scenario one, scenario two. Now we come to scenario three. Now you've got to bear in mind 15 and 24. 24 has to be read in the context of 15 first. And then you can see the balance between the two now. Okay? So, and if it happens, he says to you, I was a Hebrew slave. I came from far away. And you know what? I have grown to love you and your family and your house. And I have got enough to eat. You know, I've been able to look after my family. Okay, I don't want to leave you. Now, so what do you do? You shall take an awl. You know, an awl is a piercing equipment. Right? So you take an awl and you thrust it through his ear to the door. Okay, but very important. But you mustn't leave him hanging. You mustn't leave him hanging there. Oh dear, I'm going to hear for life. No. No. What does it mean? It's a very symbolic act. Okay, so you mustn't think that he's going to stuck there, you know, my ear stuck to the door there, I cannot move. Oh dear, no, that's not what it means. Okay, This is where, after that, remember, if you wet it all down there, it will grow back, you know. Right? So remember this. When men wear rings in the ear, he is a slave. So think twice about wearing rings. Okay? So think twice about wearing rings in your ear. Are you having... It's all right. So this is very important. So that's how it is in the early days. And those are not nice earrings, you know. You must understand. Those earrings are quite obvious earrings. There's quite a big hole there. And then they wear this ring with the family, whatever, in Sinai, whatever there, to show that this person belonged to this family. That's what it is. That's how it works. So that everybody knows, oh, this one is, it's like branded, you know. So then you know that this belongs to this family, whatever the family may be. Right? So that is how it works. Okay? Now, and this is true, the same thing, okay? You shall be a servant forever. This is your doulos concept. This is a born servant concept. It's a beautiful concept. So when Paul says he is a born servant to the Lord, he meant it. As it were, I have made myself a born servant to the Lord, and I will serve him forever. That is the concept there. Also, to your female servant, you shall do likewise. It could be a female. It doesn't matter. Right? So it must be, you must treat a person with honor, with regard, with respect, that the person be there. Now, it shall not seem hard to you when you send him away free for you from you. Now, if it doesn't happen, right? If it doesn't happen, he says, can I go now? And your answer must be, yes. You are free to go. Okay? Now, this is very important. You must be free. He is worth a double hired servant in serving you 6 years. And what will the Lord do? The Lord will bless you in all you do because of your heart. So when you read in newspapers about how people bully Myanmar maids and bully, and it's just really, really scary. Right? So today's newspaper was about a Rwandan couple. They already got charged in court for ill-treating their Indonesian maid. Then again get a Burmese maid. Oh, I mean, this is really, really a bit much. On Sunday, I was very, very touched. One of the Burmese maids, looking at one of our children in church, came up to me and said to me, you know, Pastor, thank you for all you're doing for Myanmar. She really feels it. Come on, to us, it's nothing. It's just normal what we should be doing. But she really felt it. Not that she did anything for her family. She just felt, you know, anything you do for a Burmese person or Myanmar, she feels it. Wow, thank you. Now, I was just very deeply touched by those words. And I think this is really, it really speaks well. And I know she's very devoted. She looks after a special needs child. And she is just absolutely devoted to the special needs child. And I think that is just really, really outstanding. And she's always cheerful, always happy, always glad just that she can look after the little girl. And I think that is something that's really special. Okay? So this is important for us. So 1 to 18, chapter 15, must be the back of our mind when we're looking at the poor. All right? So the poor, number one, you must help that person. Poor, number two, the person is already very poor. He found himself in the slave stock. And you happen to purchase him. Remember, it's not for other people, it's for life. For a Hebrew, only 6 years. So the idea of the Sabbath, the idea of the seventh year, It's not just Sunday come for worship. There is a representative meaning. On the seventh year, the person must be free. Sabbath. Free completely. That's it. Right? You can receive the person for life after the person, you have received the person like a family person. If not, you must free the person forever. And you must give the person whatever the person may need to start in their life. The person may have come from a different part of the country. Can the person go back to that country? Yes. You must help the person to go back to that country. And that is always a bit challenging, a bit painful on this matter here. Okay? But you see, unfortunately, many people, it's all about money. Why? Why must it always be about money? Well, now we come to 24. Okay? So now when we come to 24, you will see this over here. And it's absolutely important for us to 10 to 18 here. So this is important for us to look at 15, 1 to 18, and then 10. When you lend your brother anything. Okay? Now, this is very important. So this is another scenario. So the person is poor, but maybe not that poor. Right? One is abject poor. One is slave poor. One is not so poor. Right? So even if you need to lend a person money, you cannot go to the person's house to get his pledge. Okay, if I lend him money, and you cannot go out there and keep on asking for that pledge. Pledge. You can't do that. You cannot budge it now. You cannot climb the wall. You cannot climb the gate. You cannot enter in. You are trespassing. Wow, that is to regard the person who is poor. Respect the poor. That's the whole idea. Well, that is quite a lot of regard for the poor. No matter what. You don't despise a person because the person is poor. Just happened the person is just not rich, that's all. Why should a person who is not rich be despised? Because the person is just not rich. Right? You can't do that. That's the first thing. You can lend, you cannot go into his house, and you shall stand outside. Okay? And a person will come and bring the pledge to you. That's it. So all I have is a cloak. Can I give you this my pledge? Is that all the best you can do? Yes. Can I go and check? No. That's all I'm going to give to you. That's my pledge. Okay? It may be a coat of not of many colors. Right? It's just simply a cloak. All right, so is that all? He looks very miserable. Okay, you cannot be so rude as to, here's a stick, you don't want to hold it, just in case it's a bit smelly. You cannot do that. You cannot despise the person who is poor in any way, at any time, in any form, in any manner. You can't despise the person. Okay, this is very important. Now, supposing the person, the pledge, when the sun goes down and he needs the garment to, as his blanket, it's cold. It drops to near zero. And the person is shivering and he's chattering whole night through. And he really, really is so cold. And the person raises your name, Stanley. You are in trouble again. So why get into trouble with the Lord? Better to, okay, now don't forget. If you want to remember me, please mention my name now. I return your pledge. So it looks good on the other side. Don't have the name come out in the black book. Well, that is how that works. Listen, so this is important. Okay? You must return it so that he may sleep and he will bless you. Instead of raising your name imprecatory, then you will be in trouble. Lord, may he also experience the same poverty. You're sunk. Okay? May his teeth chatter so much if they break. Who knows? Don't let that happen. But the person may bless you and say, wow. And the person breathes your name in a prayer of thanksgiving and blessing. You know what? The Lord will bless. So make sure that when you mention somebody's name, make sure that you utter it properly. Let it be one of blessing, not cursing. I think that is very, very, very important for us. Okay? And this is important. And that's something that you need. So 15 and 24. Now, this is another part of it. So this is what lending and pledging. Okay? Now, look at verse 14. You shall not, now this is absolutely important, oppress a hired hand who is poor and needy. Okay? Now this is very important. Sometimes a person is poor and a person is needy, and a person is actually not very good at work. Now, and you read newspapers and you just wonder why you want to hire people whom you're going to have to scold all the time. Right? Why would you want to, if you don't like, let the person go home. First, you save yourself just in case you get a stroke. The person mentioned your name, you might get a stroke. So please don't let this happen to, so don't oppress the person. And it is very, very oppressive. I know sometimes you hear of people who do foolish things like, it's kind of sad, right? So the person is, you know, you're going to get your own toothpaste, get your own toothbrush, get your own, me, we all supply everything. Shampoo, whatever you need, just go ahead and use. How much shampoo can you use? I mean, seriously, what's the problem? I mean, I'm serious about these things here. Why can't we look at them? Read the Lord's word. Don't oppress the person. Calculate everything. You know, how many slices of sandwiches you take. You know, I'm going to deduct you. What's wrong with you? Now, I really hope that we will understand this. This is not, but you know, this is according to law. Whose law? Our law is the law of God. And we don't end up oppressing the poor. The hired hand. The hired hand could be the maid, the helper, whatever. And you don't want to end up like that because it really, really can go really badly. Right? One of your brethren, one of the aliens in your land within your gates. That's very important. It could be, this time, it's not a Hebrew man. It's an alien. He's a hired person. In other words, he's not one of the Hebrews. In other words, how do you regard others? Regarding a Hebrew person because same Abraham's line. Understand? No problem. Right? What about an alien? This one does not look Abrahamic. Right? This one does not look Hebrew in any way. The nose is very different. And you know, this one is obviously non-Hebrew. You still cannot oppress. Right? In other words, just because you are the Lord's people and you have the upper hand, you have no right, you have no business oppressing anybody. Certainly not a Hebrew man, a brother, a sister. You can't. Right? But neither can you do that to an alien. That is something that is expressly forbidden. Remember, okay, this is verse 15. Each day you shall give him his wages. You cannot say the bank closed. You can't say that. You can't come back tomorrow. There was an old story told. It's called the Junior Classic story. And this man was going to hire a person, and then you give him a certain amount of wages. But his rule, you cannot get angry, you cannot get upset. Whatever I tell you, you will do, and I will then pay you your daily wages. They worked very hard, morning, afternoon, didn't give him lunch. Evening, he's very famished, he's almost fainting. He comes back to ask for his wages. And then he said, remember, what was the agreement? You will do whatever I tell you, right? Read the sign. It says, I will pay you tomorrow. How? I'm so hungry. See, you got angry. I don't have to pay you. So this happened to a lot of people. And didn't know what to do with this guy because you can't control easily your emotions. You get angry all the time. The more they hear of this thing, the more easily angry they became. And then came the village simpleton. He says, I'm so hungry, I don't have work. I got to go and work because my mother asked me to go and work. So he went down there. So he went to work and he said, you don't have food to eat? No problem. Are you angry? No, I'm not angry. You hungry? Of course I am. No problem. You don't want to pay me? You don't want to feed me? No problem. He just went to the garden and helped himself. The man was getting angry, but he couldn't. Remember, the agreement is you cannot, both cannot get angry. Oh, otherwise, you're going to pay double wages. So he was. So the man said, okay, tomorrow we'll try again. You work for me again. Sure, fine. I'll be happy to work for you. The way down there, the same thing happened. So he said, are you angry? No. Are you hungry? No. How come you're not hungry? See, there was a chicken that just killed and ate it. What? You're taking my chicken now? You're taking my fruit? You're taking my chicken? So he was getting angry. But, you know, he had to control himself. Otherwise, he's going to pay double wages. Now, 2 days already. So the third day, the same thing happened. And this time, said no food, no drink, no nothing. So he just got up. He says, are you hungry? No. You don't want wages? No need. What did you have? Today I had lamb. What? Okay, you please get out from here. He couldn't stand it because before he goes bankrupt. And that was how it is. So this simpleton really made an upset of the whole situation. So there are always crazies out there. So just be careful. You do your part. And make sure that when you hire somebody, you shall pay the person. Now, this is absolutely important for us to understand. And so this is something that we need to look at very, 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 very carefully. Okay? So these are things which okay, now let's take a look at these things here. Now look at verse 16 now. This is another law. Fathers shall not be put to death for their children, nor children be put to death for their fathers. A person shall be put to death for his own sin. Now, for some reason, this was a misunderstanding. There was a misunderstanding when the Lord said, he will visit the father's guilt upon the third and the fourth generation. And people didn't understand that. Are you familiar with that word? Okay, let's look at the book of Exodus. Okay, Exodus 34, and you see this. And this was a correction of a misunderstanding. Okay, 34, we read in 34, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin. Remember, three things covered: iniquity, transgression, sin. In other words, evil, bad deed, omission, all forgiven. By no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. Now, this was read it was understood, misread, misapplied. Means to say that the father doesn't have to pay for his sins, his children will. That's not how it works. In America, it used to be save for the next generation. Now, is the next generation pay for this generation? Now, that is because they're so much in debt. It will take 2-3 generations to pay off the trillions of dollars in debt right now. And it's going to be tough. So the average American citizen owes thousands just because you're born American. And they are in serious debt. But that's what we are looking at. So Deuteronomy 24 is a correction of a misunderstanding and a misapplication of Exodus 34 and verse 7. What does God mean when he says that you will, the iniquity will be visited upon the third and the fourth, the second and third generation? What it really means is that God is not punishing the next generation for the generation of the first. That's not what it means. So it's not a direct punishment. But the point of it all, this is a consequence. There's a difference between a direct punishment and a consequence. Right? So if this family is poor, then the family, next generation, will have to be almost expectedly poor. And the poverty may remain for the first or the second or third generation. That's what it means. Right? But it is not a direct visitation of iniquity, of punishment for the second and third generation, which is totally misread. And so many people fear this. What the Lord said, second or third generation, then after that it's over. They can go on the fourth, fifth, sixth generation if you keep on doing the same stupid things. So that's not what it means. In other words, the iniquity, the consequences, the results of the things which are done is the next generation will feel it, will experience it, but it is not a direct punishment for it. That's a lot of difference. All right? So this is going to be very, very clear. So 24 is a correction of this misunderstanding. So the father is not going to pay for the children's son's sin, nor the son's for the father's sin. That's not, in other words, there is no direct punishment. If there is direct punishment, then it will be the person himself. You are responsible for your own sins. That's it. The consequences are a different story. Right? The consequences are sometimes sad and almost inevitable. But it is not a result of a direct blow. It is consequences. There's a lot of difference. In other words, can I reverse the consequences? Yes. With God's grace, with God's blessing, I can reverse the consequences. So there is no such thing as, oh, you're doomed for the next 2 or 3 generations. So you mustn't think swear for the next 2 or 3. That's not how it works. Okay, so don't just get it out of your mind. That is not the meaning of Exodus 34. Unfortunately, it is, you know, then but that's not how it works. So that is a very, very sad misunderstanding and misapplication of it all. But the consequences, unfortunately, you can't adjust. Right? So that can happen. So let's say the person belongs to a royal family. Then a royal family, one of the members defected, they became a villain. So that royal family is gone. That part of it is finished. Right? Now that is going to be a reality, unfortunately. Okay, so this was the way in which they checked this. So, but that's not how it works. Okay, so consequences are there, but never as a direct punishment. So you don't worry, I'm being punished for my parents. Nope, you're not being punished for your parents' sin. Okay, my father was lazy, now I'm also lazy. No, because you are lazy yourself, not because your father's laziness. You cannot blame your father. Because my father was lazy, I'm lazy, and my children were lazy. That's your problem. So you are inviting the consequences of your own foolishness, your own sinfulness, not because of parents or grandparents or whatever. So you don't worry about it. See, that's why when people are with their children, they always worry, then how my parents did this, you know, then how will sin will be visited upon the generation. And, don't worry about it. This is not what it means. Okay? So you mustn't think like that, because this is not what it is. So that is absolutely not true. So 24, and this is absolutely important for us to understand. Okay? Now, this is something that was also very clearly stated in Ezekiel chapter 18. Let's take a look at this text here. So Ezekiel chapter 18. This Friday, Saturday, we will be studying Ezekiel, but not 18. Okay, but let's take a look at 18 here, where we have this word. Okay, now this is something that we need to take a look at very, very carefully. And 18, okay, and look at verse 20. And this is important for a while. The soul... Okay, verse 19 here. Yet you say, why should the son not bear the guilt of the father? Now, see, it became a very strong traditional belief. Why should the son not bear the guilt of his father? Because the son is not guilty. You see the whole Exodus 34:7? So if the son is not guilty, why should he bear the guilt? See, this is a misunderstanding. So many, many people, unfortunately, use this to scare people. If you don't be careful, you know, your God is going to visit to the second or third generation. Nonsense. Ezekiel 18:20 tells us very clearly, okay, the son, he shall surely live. All right? So this is very important. The soul who sins shall die. The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father bear the guilt of the son. This is 24:16. Okay? This is very important. So this is clearly stated. Okay? So this is something that we need to appreciate. So don't worry about your father's sins and all that. My father is a drinker. I'm born to be a drinker. Not true. My father is a smoker. Therefore, I'm going to be a smoker. Not true. My father is fat. Therefore, I'm going to be fat. Not true. It's you. If you're going to be fat, see, my grandfather was fat, my father fat, I'm fat too. No, you all have individual sin problem. Not because of your inherited fatness. No, you're just born baby. You inherited your own fatness. Nothing to do. Don't blame people. Not fourth generation, you're free. No such thing. The fourth generation could be even bigger. So you cannot use this as an argument, because it's a false statement, it's a false understanding. Okay, so just free yourself tonight, go home and sleep in peace. So you don't have to worry. So this has nothing to do with you. Okay, so this is absolutely important. But if you have family difficulties and all that, you may bear some consequences, but not the guilt, not the punishment. Consequences are not guilt and punishment. So that's not true. Can I be better than my parents? Yes. Can I be better off than my parents? Absolutely. Remember, you are responsible for your own life, not your parents, okay? Nor your children, okay? So same way, fathers shall not be put to death for their children, nor shall children be put to death for their fathers. Verse 16, person shall be put to death for his own sin. That's it. So nothing could be clearer than that. So this is Ezekiel 18:20. This is also Exodus 34:7. Explain very, very carefully and make sure that we get it right. Right? So don't worry tonight. Again, here, sleep in peace tonight. And don't let this bother you so much. All right. You shall not pervert justice. This is absolutely important. Okay? And this is for the stranger or the fatherless. Now take a widow's garment as a pledge. Now, this is something, again, here. So it's all part of it. See, very often, the person who does not get justice is always often the poor. That is a sad reality. Okay? One day, there was a story told of in India. This was a man. The two guys were before the judge, and the judge is going to give a sentence. To the man who was there being charged, kept on putting his hand in his pocket. And it was bulging. So he kept putting his hand in the pocket all the time, bulging. So the judge looked at him, looked at his body language, and then acquitted him and told the other guy, case dismissed. And the fellow was very angry. But this poor man was there where he was at. He was acquitted and he was very happy. So the man, the one who charged him, went away angry. So the judge said, okay, you stay behind. Thinking that what was in his pocket would be lumps of gold or some jewels, because two hands were full. So he said, what's in your pocket? He said, two rocks. What is that for? Because if you had judged me guilty, I would have stoned you. And the judge breathed a sigh, really. Good thing I didn't. Otherwise, I would be very badly hurt. There were very sharp-edged rocks in his pockets. And he says, I'm a poor man, but I am not guilty. And this fellow tried to bully me, and he tried to threaten me. And you, good for you, you judge correctly. Because if you had pronounced me guilty, I would have thrown it at both your eyes, and you would be, quickly the judge would get out from here. Because this guy was a real desperado. See, some people are poor and they got nothing else. They got nothing to lose. Right? In the early days, punishment was very, very, very harsh. Right? So whether you steal a loaf of bread, like Jean Valjean, then you're going to go and spend many years in jail for a loaf of bread. It doesn't care whether you stole a loaf of bread or you broke into an apartment. You stole. The penalty for stealing is the same. You go to jail for a long time so that you will never do it again. Well, that's tough. This is perversion of justice. You cannot do that. Right? So this is a really important. You shall not pervert justice. Okay? Due the stranger. The stranger must understand the law is the law. It is one law for the people in the land or the stranger, number one. Number two, for the fatherless. The fatherless has no one to protect him. Three, the widow's garment you cannot take as a pledge. Remember this. So this is all still part of the regard for the poor still. Right? So you cannot do this because, again, here the poor are disadvantaged. Right? They don't have a job. They don't even have a pledge to give to you. They sell themselves as slaves. And now, even in the court of justice, it goes against them. Now, this is where the Lord has very clearly stated. Remember this. You were a slave in Egypt. God redeemed you. Therefore, I command you to do this thing. Now, this is absolutely important. Right? So you cannot just take this for granted. So sometimes we have to remember our past. Were you poor in the past? Then remember the poor. Were you a slave? Then remember you were a stranger. Were there problems in your family life? Remember that one day you will be able to do this. Right? Now this is something, this is expressed nothing less than a command. Right, this is absolutely important for us to consider. All right, this is something that we need to look at all the time. And the kindness to the poor, justice for the poor, help for the poor, in every way it must be given with grace, with honor, with dignity. You cannot be guilty of despising the poor at any time. Right? The person cannot be dismissed in any way, just like that, because that is so wrong. Right? So this is important. So you don't have to be worried about if I'm poor, if I can't have this, we can't afford that. That is not the point. Okay? You should never, never feel that way in any way. This is just simply biblical. To us, it's just normal to practice this as our way of life. It's part of our faith, it's a part of our way of life, and that's how it works. Okay? Well, so tonight, if you feel worried about the second or third generation, sleep in peace. I didn't say rest in peace. That would be bad. But sleep in peace, so don't worry too much about it. And make sure that you not going to practice these things or worry about these things. Unfortunately, many people read this particular text and wrongly, not bearing in mind Deuteronomy 24, 16, and then Ezekiel 18 and 20. Once you balance it up, then it becomes very, very clear that each one is going to be penalized and guilty only for personal sins. Consequences may occur, but they are not punishment. They are not direct punishment or chastisements from God. So you mustn't blame. You cannot say, you know why I'm like that? Because my father is like that. No. You, not the father or your mother. Nothing to do with parents in any way. Right? Some consequences may occur, but don't blame anybody for your misfortune or for whatever happens to you. You only have yourself to blame. Okay? Think about these things here. Right, and really enjoy the reading of the Lord's Word. See, Deuteronomy is a wonderful book to read. It's not a book to be feared. It is so enlightening. It is so enlivening. It is so absolutely refreshing to read. Wow, this is a wonderful book. Why didn't I read this before? See, we all have so many misgivings when it comes to reading things like that. And Ezekiel is not a book to be feared. It's a wonderfully uplifting book to read. Just a bit slower. Just read it bit by bit and you will understand it a little bit more. Okay? Enjoy reading the Lord's Word. And that is the best thing to do. Okay? Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we just thank you for the joy that we have in our hearts. Reading your Word, understanding its truth, and being blessed by it. We pray that you will refresh us as we take time to ponder the truth of your Word. We thank you for the veracity of it all. We would ask you to bless us. In Jesus' name, amen.